Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
I want to talk to you about hook, line, and sinker. Hook, line, and sinker. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, "I'll make you fishers of men," it was because he was relating, because Peter was a fisherman, and he could relate to that. And Jesus said, "As you catch fish, I'm going to teach you to catch men that same way." But it's also applicable to all of us that are Christians that want to see others saved, that we become fishers of men. If we're true followers of Jesus, we'll do two things. We will follow Jesus, and secondly, we become fishers of people, fishers of men. Try to persuade people. That's what the Apostle Paul did, to persuade people to follow Christ. Do you really believe in this gospel with your whole heart? I do. And so when we say hook, line, and sinker, what does that mean? It's a fishing term. I don't know how many people really like to do a lot of fishing in this building. Let me see your hand. Not that many of you. I don't know how long it's been since I've been fishing, but I used to fish some, quite a lot, back when I was young and before I started pastoring, and fished a lot on Toledo Bend, over on the Texas-Louisiana line. So I've done a little fishing in my life, but not an expert fisherman, and don't tremendously enjoy it because I've always got something else I'd rather be doing. But it's a fishing term, hook, line, and sinker. Before we get to the fishing application, let's tell you what it has become. It's become a cliche of derision. What does that mean? He swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. That means you've been conned. But everybody swallows something, hook, line, and sinker, in your life. And you do that for two reasons. Either deception, you were deceived, or desire. You just wanted it so bad you swallowed it. You didn't care. Hook, line, and sinker means that the fish not only got the hook, but he swallowed it. It's no longer in his lip. It's in his stomach. And I've got many of them. They're hard to get out when they get swallowed like that. You just can't get them loose. But some of them you just catch in their lip. That's the hook that just goes in their lip. And that catching a fish with that hook in their lip, that is the real essence of every story about the fish that got away. Oh, man, a big one got away. That's because you caught it by the lip. There's a big difference, really, between hooking a fish and catching a fish. When you hook it, it's still in the water. When you catch it, it's in the boat. It's a big difference. And so the Bible teaches us that we are to be fishers of men. We are to win souls, to bring them into the kingdom, to get them in the boat. The Bible said, "He that winneth souls is wise." The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, Proverbs said. Paul said, "By all means, save some." I see people doing outlandish things that I want to be critical of because it's just strange. I wonder if it's being received as it's supposed to be received, or people look and say, "Those people are just crazy." A friend of mine said that there's no party like a Holy Ghost party, so he had everybody to wear lampshades to church. I said, "I'm not sure that's good." The Bible said, "Lest those that enter the room that occupy the room of the unlearned, they don't understand." And so if you came to church here and everybody had on lampshades, you wouldn't understand that we're partying Jesus. You would think it's a mental institution. I saw a church that was preaching on baptism a couple of years ago, and so they got a deal like you'd have at Six Flags, and it got a big pool, and you went up and got on that slide, and when you hit the water, they called the name of Jesus. That was their baptismal service. That stretched me. I didn't want to be critical because they're getting a lot of people, but it stretched me. But the apostle said, by all means, we save some. And so it's all right to go to extremes to get people saved. In fact, the apostle Paul said, we should be so concerned about those that are lost that we should not cease to warn them day and night with tears. Why? Because if you believe the Bible, if you believe Jesus, you could take everybody else out. But if you just believe Jesus, just the letters in red, just the words in red, there's a heaven and there's a hell. Just in the words of Jesus, you don't have to use Paul or Peter or Isaiah, just Jesus. He talked often about heaven and hell. If there is a heaven and hell, then we ought to be fishers of men. We ought to be doing everything we can to get people into the kingdom of God. I believe the word of God. I believe what Jesus said. I believe there is a heaven and hell. I'm asked often to ignore God's word. They want me to assume that their opinion has more power than God's word. As much as I like that person, as close as they might be as my friend, their opinion does not measure up to God's word. The Bible said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will endure forever. And because I believe in the word of God, we must do all things that we can to save men. And so we're living in a world that just places no significance on God's word. 20% of the Christians, not 20% of the population, 20% of the Christians that have left their church in the last 5 years have left. Why? Because the church teaches that homosexuality is immoral. 20% of the Christians that have left because they would not compromise the word of God. My opinion doesn't matter. People say, what do you think? It doesn't matter what I think. What does the word of God say? My opinion is totally without value. Your opinion is totally without value. The president of the United States' opinion is totally without value. The professor that taught you in college's opinion is without value. The movie star's opinion is without value. The singer that has gone platinum with 10 different albums, opinion is without value. The cultural trend has no value whatsoever. It's what God's word has to say. And when we understand that, it motivates us. We must be fishers of men. We must bring people into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible concludes, if this gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. That's one of the most fearful verses in the Bible. People that never heard the gospel, the Bible says, are lost. It's a terrible verse. So let's go back to my subject, hook, line, and sinker. It's a fishing term. It refers to the swallowing of the hook. There's a big difference between hooking a fish and catching a fish. The Bible doesn't use the phrase hook, line, and sinker. It uses this phrase, called, chosen, and faithful. Called is the invitation. You don't know how blessed you are that you heard the call of the Holy Spirit. You heard something that other people have never heard. You were called by God. You don't get saved unless you're called. That's the invitation of the Spirit. Chosen. Did you know God said, you haven't chosen. See, I chose to follow Christ. But God said, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. Hey, there's 8 billion people that look similar to you. And you got chosen. It's pretty neat. Pretty neat. When I was a little boy, my daddy took me down to join the Little League team when we'd moved to Pittsburgh, Indiana. And they already had their teams and nobody wanted me. And they argued over who had to take me. That's not a good feeling. But it was a good feeling when I pitched that year and didn't lose a game. But not to be chosen, to be the one left off, left out. But there's not a person within the sound of my voice in this building today that is not a miracle. Because you would not be here if you were not called, and you would not be here if you were not chosen. But God does the calling, and God does the choosing. But he said, called, chosen, and faithful. God doesn't do the faithful. He is faithful to us. But the faithful that he's talking about is us faithful to him. God does two-thirds of it, but one-third of it is you. You're called by God, you're chosen by God, but now you choose whether you're going to be faithful or not. Unwavering, faithful means unwavering commitment. Have you made that unwavering commitment? And James writes about it, and he talks about he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I would say this is the number one problem that Christians have. Is that they waver. They're not faithful. They're not consistent in their commitment. And so he said, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven to the wind and tossed. Friend, let me explain to you. I asked God for salvation and I got it. Let me explain to you. I've asked God for healing and I've got it. Let me explain to you. I've asked God for prosperity and I got it. You say, well, I didn't get it. Well, you might want to consider this next verse. He that wavereth, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Wow. If you waver, God's not your boy. He's not bringing daily bread. He's not comforting you every moment of the day. But if you are faithful after you've been called and chosen, God will supply your every need. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote about a man named Demas. And he was on a missionary journey with Paul, and he just went AWOL. He left. He got tough. He just checked out. And so Paul didn't really want to sabotage him. He just said simply, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was called, he was chosen, but he wasn't faithful. In other words, he was hooked, but he wasn't caught. Just a hook in the lip, and Paul thought he had him in the fishing for men. He thought he had brought him in the boat, but he didn't. Just before he could get him in that boat and reach out with that net and get him, Demas slipped away. It was a heartbreak for Paul. Well, I can say that often because there have been so many people I thought that I had caught that I only had hooked. I have a friend here in the city, still my friend today. But 40-some years ago, he and his little wife, girlfriend, got married in our little church over on Pat Booker. Man, I loved those kids. They were a little younger than Becky. Becky and I were young then. We were like late 20s. And they were younger than we were. And they came into our church and did so well. She sang so good. She's in our choir. And he's still my friend. I've never had anybody do this before. People that don't get hooked or don't get caught, they're just hooked. They just slip away. They don't say goodbye. They don't say nothing. They just slip away. But not this couple. They made an appointment with Becky and I. We were close to them. I've never had anybody do this before. They said, we just come to tell you that we're leaving. And we're not offended. And it's not that we don't love you. And it's not that we don't love the church. And it's not that anything's wrong. We just want to live in the world. And so we won't be back to church ever again. And that's the way that I've never had anybody do that before or since. And I still see this gentleman. But after that happened, she was so talented. She was an actress. They got divorced pretty quickly after they had 3 or 4 kids. The kids have been on drugs. They've been divorced. It's just a wreck. The Bible calls it the shipwreck of faith. It's because I didn't catch them. I just hooked them. I thought I had them caught. I'm a fisher of men. I thought for sure I had him in the boat for a while. I thought we'd grow old together and go to heaven together. But no, it didn't happen that way. They were just hooked. They weren't caught. You know, Peter had a problem. He walked with Jesus for 3 years, and he wasn't caught. He was hooked. He said, no matter what happens, Jesus, I'll be with you. He said, I'll be crucified. Whatever. Jesus rebuked him, said, you don't know what you're talking about, Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You don't have a clue. Because Jesus knew he was hooked and not caught. But he said, I'm going to pray for you, Peter. Now, Peter thought he was Jesus' main man. And Jesus said, when thou art converted, Peter, you've walked with me for 3 years and you're not saved. When thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Feed the sheep. Jesus knew. And sure enough, when Jesus gets crucified, Peter's down there in the periphery, way back there somewhere, and they're saying, didn't you used to be a... Oh, no, I don't even know that guy. He cussed. He went back to his old self. He's just been hooked. He wasn't really caught. So he said, man, that's... But Jesus doesn't really give up on the people he hooks. He always wants to catch you. He is the ideal fisherman of men. He wants to get you in the boat. And I've seen some people that I hooked that got away, and I thought they were gone forever, but no, Jesus hooked them again, and they eventually got caught. And I praise God for those people. But Jesus saw Peter after he had went away and cursed and denied knowing Christ. He saw him out there fishing. Peter was naked. I don't know what it is about people that backslide. I always want to get their clothes off. Some of them don't even have to get backslid to do that. But Jesus said, Peter, lovest thou me? I had you hooked once and you got away, but I'm going to try to hook you again. And I hope you swallow it hook, line, and sinker this time. Because if you do, you won't never get away. Lovest thou me? He just kept prodding him. Finally, Peter said, yes, I love you. And this time, Peter was not hooked. He was caught because he would be tested. Now, let me help you with ego a little bit. Everybody's got it. Peter was the main man of the church. Until Paul came along. And Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Peter didn't quite measure up to that. Peter was, the Bible said, ignorant, unlearned. He was a high school dropout that was trying to get a GED. And Paul had a PhD. They weren't the same kind of people at all. Peter was real low on the social ladder. And Paul was way up here. And so Peter had to kind of step back a little bit. I know a friend of mine was a great preacher. A great African-American preacher. One of the best I ever heard. He was my friend. I love him. Still love him. He told me, he said, they call me the Black Billy Graham. And he was pretty happy about that. And all of a sudden, there was a man that burst on the scene by the name of T.D. Jakes. And that man had to step back, but he wouldn't step back. He stepped out. Big difference between stepping back and stepping out. And so today, he's gone. No longer truly follows Christ. That was exactly Peter's situation. And Paul kind of pushed it a little bit. Paul said, kind of bragged about it a little bit. He said, I withstood Peter to his face. In other words, I stepped over him. He was talking about circumcision in the Jewish laws. But the point was, Paul kind of made that point. I withstood him to his face. There's ego even in the church and even in Christianity. It was the perfect place for Peter to say, I am offended. You won't never hear of me again. But something had happened to Peter. He wasn't hooked. He was caught. He had now bought the gospel hook, line, and sinker. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that that's what happened in my life. When you've preached the gospel for 50 or 60 years, I have most of your life, you just have a history of looking behind you and seeing people that fell to the right and the left, and you're still going because they were hooked. But praise God, I swallowed this thing hook, line, and sinker. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the church says. I am persuaded that Jesus Christ is the only way, and I am going to follow him no matter what happens. This building is packed to capacity, and they wait outside before Jesus comes. I'm hooked. I'm caught. I'm swallowed hook, line, and sinker. If it shows, if Becky and I show up, and she has to sing to me and I have to preach to her, I'm still caught. Hook, line, and sinker. I close with this. I was preaching a revival in central Louisiana. We were having a great revival. I remember it was a wonderful church. We had a men's Bible class on Sunday, and we'd have between 100 and 200 men just in that Bible class. Great church. And one night, I preached. And I preached on a sermon. A friend of mine died at his funeral Friday. I watched it online. And they said his greatest sermon was, this is the sermon, and he's 5 years younger than me. And I remember him sitting in the congregation when I preached the sermon. So they said it was his greatest. It was actually my sermon. And I'm not particularly proud of it. It's when I was young, before I understood grace as much. But the subject was picnicking on the banks of hell. That was my sermon. So I preached that night in central Louisiana, picnicking on the banks of hell. There was a man, a woman, and 3 teenage children sitting right back there. And when I got through, they ran. They did not walk to that altar. They fell into the altar crying. The pastor grabbed me and said, Steve, that is the most wealthy, influential people in this part of Louisiana. They own the mortuary here in town and almost every business in town. They're multimillionaires. So we prayed with them that night through tears. Father got up and he said, we'll be back tomorrow night. We want to be baptized. So they came back, all 5 of them came back. Oh, they were on a way. They said, we were supposed to be on vacation leaving tomorrow to go to Hawaii, but we're going to cancel our reservations and we're coming to this revival every night. We're going to be saved. So they came back the next night, and I remember we provide robes here to baptize people. They didn't have any robes. They brought their own clothes. And I remember what I preached on. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I preached on faith. And they didn't come to be baptized. They had their clothes with them, but they just sat back there. I went back after the service to meet him. And he said, Pastor, we've made a mistake. We don't want to go to this church. You won't never see us again. We're going to Hawaii on vacation. And he said, to tell you the truth, last night, Pastor, you preached good. He said, when you preached on hell, it scared me so bad. But he said, preaching on faith didn't bother me at all. We won't never be back. I never saw him again. I hooked him, but I didn't catch him. Friend, there's nobody that can make up your mind but you. Are you hooked? Are you caught? I'm caught. And I don't care what happens. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I touch not only the hem of his garment, I wrap him up in my arms.